This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today's March 20th, 2010. And over the last several months, I've been doing messages about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ, grace, and the place of the law. Because what the Lord talked about before he left the earth was what the signs would be like, the times just preceding the second coming. And one of the aspects was of that people would be falling away from the faith, that there'd be falling teachers and deceivers, false prophets, and there'd be false Christs, and that many would fall away and give up and then betray other people that really believed on Jesus Christ. And this is why it's imperative that we follow the standard of truth, which is the very word of God, which is the very person of Jesus Christ. Nothing's new under the sun. This is what we're told in the scripture, that the same heresies that we have today are the same heresies that the prophets of old encountered, the same heresies that Jesus Christ dealt with and the apostles, the early church dealt with. But I'll tell you, the spirits of this age that hate God, that hate humanity, the spirits of darkness, the deceivers, the liars, the murderers, every false spirit will always lead you away from Jesus Christ, will always lead you away from the cross. And if these spirits can lead you to trust in yourself or to trust in another or into another God, they will deceive you. This is why we have to have our loins girded with truth. We have to have the helmet of salvation, the whole armor of God, that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. There's people right now, ladies and gentlemen, that are teaching such a heresy that it would be the same thing to say that Jesus Christ did not exist, or that Jesus Christ did not die on a cross, or that putting your faith on Jesus is vain. What a heresy. Well, any true Christian would say, no, that's not true. It's recorded in the scripture that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scripture. And after he was buried, after he was dead, he was buried for 3 days and he arose again, just as it was written in the scriptures. And by faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we may be saved from our sins. It's by faith. And there's people now, just as in the early church, it's recorded in Acts 15 and in Galatians. It's abundant of scripture. People are sneaking in to the household of faith to turn people away from the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the simplicity that's in Christ, to lead them back to Moses, to follow the law of Moses, to trust in their deeds, to do works of the law that no man could ever do. This is why Jesus Christ died in the first place. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man would boast. This heresy of returning back to the law of Moses is very, very serious, because the people that are being swept up and drawn away for one reason or another, and there's a lot of emotional reasons, are absolutely in danger of falling away from the grace of God. This is what Paul dealt with. He preached to them the gospel. He preached to them, and the people received it by faith. And he was perplexed by this. In Galatians chapter 3, Apostle Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" You see, we're told that the law is not of faith, that the law works wrath, that the law was imperfect, that the law was weak, that the law was done away, that the law was abolished, that the law, the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, was nailed to the cross of Christ. Repeatedly we're told this. But this is what I'm noticing as an earmark of those that are following the heresy of the Hebrew Roots Faith movement, or the Messianic movement, or the Jewish Roots movement, is that there's a casting off or rejection of the scripture. How Jesus dealt with this. When he was talking to the Jews, he came to his own, and his own received him not. In Mark chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders. But they eat bread with unwashed hands. He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now listen to this, verse 8 of Mark 7. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pots and cups and many other such things as you do. You see that they reject the word of God to keep the traditions and commandments of man. Verse 9, and he said unto them, Full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Wow, what a paradox. Verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such things do you. And this is what we have today, the earmarks. If you're not going to follow the scripture, put everything to the test, you're doomed to error. And the danger of rejecting Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus Christ, by doing works. One work, ladies and gentlemen, in Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this. Stand therefore fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Wow, that's very serious. To take you back to the law, to do deeds that no one can do. You read Acts chapter 15, there was a certain sect of Pharisees that believed in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but they felt that they should command the Gentiles and all the others that came into the faith that they were to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. But Peter stood up and said, Why provoke God? None of our forefathers were able to keep the law, neither we ourselves are able to keep the law, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Having begun in the Spirit, are you going to find maturity by going back to the flesh? Paul says. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And that word frustrate is the word obliterate. I don't obliterate the grace of God. That if I could be righteous by doing the law, then Christ died in vain. And you don't want to tell Jesus Christ he died in vain. This is a letter written to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus despised that cross. It was a great sacrifice. He groaned in agony and sweated drops of blood. And he prayed three times that cup of death would be passed from him. But nevertheless, not his will, he prayed to the Father, but the will of the Father be done, that all things would be fulfilled. Jesus Christ dying on the cross as a Passover lamb, innocent, without any sin. The sins of many were laid upon him, the sins of the world. By faith are you justified in that act. And God, having only one begotten Son, so loved the world, he gave that only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We're saved by grace, not of works. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. It's such a strange thing that people would think that returning back to the law of Moses would please God when he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Because the law was weak in the flesh. It couldn't perfect us, ladies and gentlemen. Why provoke God? Why think by your doing acts, doing the Sabbath, doing a circumcision, doing a part of the law, you're a debtor. You're not of faith. The law is not of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's absolutely no way the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, will lead you to do works in your own flesh. It's true that the church world has many, many problems and it absorbed many things that are contrary to the Lord. But we're to walk in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, not to the left, not to the right, not as a Hebrew Jewish customs, not to the Gentile traditions and customs after the vanity of their mind, after a godless world. But we're to walk in Jesus Christ with having our minds renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, but trusting in God, having faith in the cross, and not despising the cross. This is an awesome scripture by Apostle Paul. Listen, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It's the power of God to walk in a new life, ladies and gentlemen, that we're buried with Christ and risen with him by the glory of the Father. And we can crucify the flesh and its sinful passions and walk in newness of life. That's the glorious liberty that God Almighty has called us to walk as new men in Jesus Christ. Whether Gentile or Jew, that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are one new man. And all the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us was nailed to his cross. Praise God by grace. Through faith. Listen, that's the word of God. That's the scripture. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Ladies and gentlemen, have your faith in the blemishless lamb. Have your faith in his blood that in God's judgment will pass over. And this is a daily, daily celebration of the feast of God of Passover in Jesus Christ. Have faith. In Romans 9, verse 30 and following, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness." Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed." It's by faith, ladies and gentlemen. And God's called you into faith. And Hebrews 4 says we should fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." God is calling us into the rest of God. "And he that has faith has ceased from his works as God did from his."